You realize it's really 7. So we're so glad that you're all here with us this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful day. Let's take just a few moments and greet each other in the name of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Really?
There are many announcements in the bulletin, and if anyone has any special announcement that they want to call our attention to, anyone? Helen?
Wednesday is retirees outing. The retirees outing, and I'm not just called Kathleen Wagner, but we will go somewhere and eat. That's what we always do. So I feel confident we'll do that. Thompson Station Cafe. Do you know a time to meet here? So people leave here 10:45. Is that right? Leave here at least 10:30 or 10:45. Who else is in that group? Just 2 or 3. If you want to be retired or think about it, go eat. And that's about what we do.
Anything else? All right. Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning?
Carol Townsend, Joe's wife, Trevin's mama, Stephen's mama, going to have bypass surgery at Baptist tomorrow afternoon. And so Mr. Bennett went to the hospital Friday. His heart was down to 20, whatever that means, heart rate at 20. And they're going to put a pacemaker in sometime tomorrow, I think. He's at Williamson. Help me out if I... Those are kind of... Is it Friday? Brenda's surgery is Friday, maybe? This week, anyway. Brenda Levine's going to have back surgery. It's Friday. Where is hers? At Vanderbilt. So, Brenda, Carol, and Alfred. Who else? Anybody else? Okay. Yeah, family of Roger Walker. Roger used to be a part of this church 20 years ago, I guess. 18 to 20.
A lot of concern. Do I have a couple of folks that will be doing the candles? Could I volunteer a couple of folks? Great. Thank you so much.
Roger, if you'll help them with the candles if they need some help.
We do want to pause for a moment of silent prayer as we ask the Lord to bless our service this morning. candles are being lit, we do want to welcome Jesus, the light of the world, into our service today. Our call to worship is from Psalm 63, and it's found in your bulletin. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you.
Therefore I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory.
For your loving kindness is better than life itself. My lips shall give you your praise.
So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name.
I'll stand and turn our hymns to hymn one. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Come to this place because of you. But we also come with needs of our own, knowing that you can meet them. Lord, touch us this day. Let your Spirit flood our souls. Let it envelop us. Let it empower us. Let it give us attentive ears, responsive hearts. Lord, help us. Help us to glorify you and praise you. And we offer ourselves this hour in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please state your faith in speaking the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He is ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In our service for confessing our sins. Our call to confession this morning is found in Psalms 32. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Our prayer of confession is in unison. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to the paths of righteousness, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is found in Luke. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God.
Turn your hymn announcer wheel, please, to hymn 45. Surely goodness and mercy. Let's do 1 and 3.
Oh,
Years ago, I went to the National Quartet Convention and heard the Blackwoods sing this, and I thought it was such a great song. I found the soundtrack. It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I failed Him so and caused Him pain, still it's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to find his way. I too was lost so long, but I found my way to God. Now it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take this old world, its wealth and riches. I don't need a thing. It's my desire to live for Him. How very far Jesus brought me from to where I am today. That's why I know there's a reason I love Him so. Now just take this old world,
name. It's my desire.
We want to worship the Lord this morning with our tithes and our offerings, if our ushers will come forward as I read. It's found in 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich."
Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for giving up your Son Jesus for a time. Him becoming poor in our stead. And thank you for the richness of your grace that we have through faith in him. In Jesus' name.
Victory in Jesus. Again, let's sing 1 and 3.
Story of glory,
Scripture lesson today comes from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Do we have the words on the screen for that? Think it one time. It may not be. No, we're not. We don't have the words elsewhere, and do not have them on the screen. Proof.
They're not the book.
Is that true? Is that true, Savetta? Okay. We? Stop.
Look, okay.
We were going to sing the song. Savetta, you played that for the offertory. Do you have the words? Can you just read them to us?
Come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of love. Let pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy, as deep cries out to deep. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Thank you.
plan for all things to be perfect, but it doesn't always work that way. Because us human beings make mistakes. A supportive passage of Scripture is found in Acts chapter 13. Also, you might look to Luke and read about some people coming to Jesus and a call to repentance. The title of this sermon today is Experiencing God's Grace. The suggestion that we experience it, the invitation to experience it, but it may also be a call to acknowledge it. The purpose that we have chosen today, or we feel that we want to project this morning, is to reveal God's grace. We talked to a person recently who was a member of a denomination or a church that normally does not talk much about God's grace. And as we talked in that conversation, I saw this person talking like a person who had really experienced God's grace. And finally, that person said, "But we believe," talking about herself, "but I believe, though my church normally doesn't preach a lot about God's grace or stress it, more obedience or works for salvation, that I'm one who really believes in grace." And I thought, how refreshing, how refreshing. But I'm not sure that I grew up hearing much about God's grace. I probably grew up, you probably grew up hearing about that we got to be good. We got to be good, and we need to be good. But with the suggestion that if we were good enough, we would get into heaven. Well, we can't be good enough. We cannot be good enough. We cannot work our way into heaven. So it's only by God's grace that we will make it. Only by God's grace. A little historical background. The Israelites had been in Babylon for 70 years. Some of them had become complacent. They had been routed up. Their town had been destroyed. Their land, their nation had been destroyed. And they had been carted off through Persia or through the desert to Babylon. It's what we know as Iraq now. And they had lived there 70 years. And their 70 years of punishment was about to come to an end. I think we talked about while they were there, they failed to observe the Sabbath year for 490 years, and God kept being patient. 490 years, pretty patient, isn't it? And finally he said, enough. So he sent the Babylonians to overthrow them and to take them off to captivity. All the healthy ones, they left those, I guess we would call them, kind of like me, those decrepit ones that couldn't be much of a benefit to the Babylonian society, they left them there in Israel. But they kind of destroyed the city, they plowed it. They plundered it and they plowed it. The walls were broken down. Now, in Isaiah 55, well actually Isaiah 40 through 55, they're about to come home. And 55 is kind of the ending of the prophecy from this Isaiah that they are going to be freed. And it's a call to this people that are going to get to go home. And everybody's not willing to go home. They're comfortable. They have 70 years. My goodness. That's almost like Southerners going to Michigan and are going north and working in the factories there. In the late 40s, They got there and they settled. Or Mr. Thompson, he was a Texan. And there wasn't much to do in Texas in his day. And he went off to California to make a living. A lot of Arkansas people went to Kansas and Missouri. The big city is Kansas City, and the cities of Kansas and Oklahoma, the big cities. And some of the Oklahomians, a few years before, because of the Dust Bowl, had taken off to California too. But they didn't want to come back. They raised their families there. They intermarried with people there. Well, similar, the Babylonians were pretty content, some of them in Babylon, but some of them longed to go home. And I remember when I was in North Arkansas preaching, many people who had left there to make a living in the 40s or 50s, in the 70s, they were anxious to come home because they had earned a living. They wanted to come back and be on that land that they had touched as children. So, Israelites have been in captivity approximately 70 years. It's coming to an end, and Isaiah the prophet urges the people to take advantage of God's grace. It would only really be by God's grace that they get to go home, but they're coming. Matthew Henry, I've referred to him recently and I refer to him again today, says that in this passage we are invited to come and take provision which the grace of God has made for poor souls in the new covenant. So what does that mean to us that the Israelites are going to get to go back home to Jerusalem and reestablish it? That means very little to us, except this is also a call to you and I to take advantage of God's grace in this day as is revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. And our anticipation is not this land. We do have a longing for heaven, do we not? I certainly don't have a longing for the alternative to heaven after this life. So, I think often I long for that day. Not wanting to rush it at all. But if the bus comes today and that's my time, I want to go on the heavenly bus and not the hellish bus. I think you do too. So, it's a call to us today concerning going home to heaven, which is really our home. We're just pilgrims passing through this land, and Jesus Christ is our hope of heaven. It's an offer, a call, or an invitation. And it's a gracious offer, an offer made of pardon, that God will pardon us. It's an offer of peace and happiness. And you can read, I think it's the 21st chapter of Revelation, and learn a little bit about heaven. But also you can read the 4th and the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians and Paul's description of heaven, like putting on a new suit or living in a new tent as opposed to the body that we live in here, and we get a new body. And then we've sung about that new body often through the years. It's a gracious offer made of pardon. Our sins that keep us out of fellowship with God and keep us out of heaven. It's an invitation for pardon. It's an invitation for peace and happiness to poor sinners upon gospel terms. This passage was written centuries before Jesus came. But it tells us about God's grace extended to His people through Jesus, and invites people to experience it. It was an invitation for the Israelites to experience God's grace and follow Him back to the promised land. It's an invitation for us to experience God's grace through Jesus, that we might inherit our heavenly home. Who is invited? Talk about an invitation. Everyone. Read the first verse here. Who? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Everyone who thirsts. That picture is supposed to show a crowd. Jesus wants a crowd in heaven. I'm convinced of that. He don't want just a select few. He wants the whole world. Peter wrote that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, which is required to go to heaven. All. And it's whole. Everyone. Not to Jews only, but also to Gentiles. Not to the rich only, but to the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Whoever can be picked up in the highways and the hedges. And we come to the New Testament and find Jesus giving a parable about people going out into the highways and hedges to be witnesses for the king who sent them out to invite them to fellowship at the king's table. And that's a reference to himself and sending us out to invite people into the kingdom. So we as ministers, but as a kingdom of priests, as we see ourselves in this New Testament, as a kingdom of priests, every person being a minister, every Christian being a minister for the kingdom of God, we are to make an offer to the world. Not be secretive about our fellowship with Christ and the opportunities that He offers. We are to make an offer or extend an invitation out in the world to those who have not yet come. Who is invited to the kingdom of God? Who is invited to be a part of heaven? Great crowds. We talk about the communion of saints. It's referred to often as a great crowd or a great cloud of witnesses. But a great crowd makes up that great cloud of witnesses. Everyone. Now, what is the qualifications for receiving God's grace? What's the qualifications for receiving God's grace? Same qualifications we have for receiving a drink of water. Gotta be thirsty. Gotta be thirsty. Thirsty for God. Thirsty for God. Those that are satisfied with the world and are satisfied with life's enjoyments in the world, those that depend upon the merit of their own work for righteousness, these do not thirst. They have no sense of their need, but all who have a sense of their need of help to get into heaven or to get into fellowship with God, those who thirst are invited to the waters as those that labor and are heavy laden. What did Jesus say? He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That would be the tired ones, those in need of rest. Also, he is saying, "You who thirst, come to me, and I will satisfy your thirst." Where God gives grace, someone has said, He first gives a thirsting after His grace. A thirst or a thirsting after God's grace. And where He has given us a thirsting, or where He has made us thirsty for His grace, certainly He will give it. The psalmist said in Psalm 81, verse 10, God says in this psalm, I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. And we go back to the journey from Egypt to Babylon, I mean to Israel, Egypt to Canaan, or Israel, what became Israel. They were thirsty along the way, and each time they were thirsty, God satisfied their thirst with water. And each time they were hungry, God satisfied their hunger, first with manna, and then with quail. So He says to us today, you who thirst for my grace, or my forgiveness, or my pardon, open wide your mouth, or open wide your life, and I will fulfill it. The invitation. Where are we invited to? Or invited to where? To what place? To what result? To what condition? We're invited to water. The thirsty are invited to water. That's the symbolism in this prophecy. But what does water represent? Water represents Jesus. So the invitation is to Jesus. In the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, the 37th verse, Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. So the invitation back in Isaiah is to come to the water. But the water was an invitation to trust in Christ. Come and buy. What are we going to buy? We're going to buy milk. Nourishment. Spiritual nourishment is represented here. And lasting spiritual nourishment. And buy wine. Refreshment. Refreshing. But also nourishing. Nourishing. Come and buy bread. Come and buy bread. Bread that will nourish our bodies. And the question is asked in the prophecy, why would you buy that which is not bread? Come and buy bread and milk and wine and water. God offers to us that nourishment that will sustain us, that will uphold us, that will last. But what does it cost? What does it cost? What does it cost? God's grace. For us, it's free. Amazing, isn't it? For us, it's free. We don't need coins to buy it. God offers His pardon freely. Freely, He gives it to us. Utterly free, someone described it. Free to the recipients. Free to you and me. But it costs God. And it costs Jesus Christ. The offertory sentence this morning fits right in here. He became poor for our sakes. He became poor that we might be rich. God gave up His Son, Jesus, for a time. Jesus gave up His life for a time. Jesus went through the cost of suffering. But Jesus went through the cost of being separated from God the Father. He went through the pain of a lashing, the cat of nine tails. He went through the shame of a cross. So it's free to us. But God wanted to have us to have it so much that He sent Jesus, His Son, to make it possible and He paid the penalty that is due us. And He suffered the shame and death
of the cross.
We might say He picked up the tab. Went to lunch Friday with a friend. At the end of the meal, I picked up the tab. That guy's lunch was free. Also had one of my daughters with me, and her lunch was free to them. But it cost somebody. It cost me, and that was my choice. I wanted to. I chose to. That's similar to Jesus picking up the tab for us to pay for our sin. The invitation. Back to Isaiah's prophecy. The reader, or the one who hears, is urged to accept the invitation. Is urged to accept the invitation of God. The question is, why spend money on what is not bread when you could have wine and milk without money? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy or is like dry bread? The things of this world do not satisfy. They are not proper food for the soul. But many spend their money on them. Oh, how we harm ourselves when we refuse the invitation. But we do good for ourselves when we accept the invitation, or when we accept Jesus, because that's really the ultimate invitation. If or when we hearken to Christ, and that word hearken, that it begins with the word hear. Hearken. And when we hearken to Christ, we eat that which is good. When we hearken to Christ, we're eating that which is wholesome and pleasant, good of itself, good for us. God sends a good word and a promise of a good conscience and His comfort, His blessing. A good spirit. He offers a continual feast to those who hearken obediently to Christ. How do we get the grace of God? Remember, we said it comes to those who thirst for it. And God even gives us that thirst. He also calls us to Himself. But how do we get it? We hear. We seek it. We seek it. We hear. The Bible says, hear that your soul may live. We're a visual people, but we're also people who respond to audio. And we probably have more opportunities to respond to audio or to a voice than we do to a vision. Hear. And then seek. Jesus talked about asking and seeking and knocking, so that God, like a good judge, or better than a judge that you have to beg, but being a good judge, will respond. We need to express our willingness. One thing about God, He never forces on us that which we refuse to take. Verse 7.
The last portion of it
speaks of that person that the invitation is offered to. So that should be, could be me, could be you.
It says, let him return to the Lord.
Turning is repenting.
Let him turn to the Lord.
Turn away from self. Turn away from evil in the world. Turn away from the world and turn to the Lord. Henry Sloan Coffey called it a genuine turning to God. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous person his thoughts. Even have a change of thoughts. As Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 12, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous person his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him. The Lord will have mercy on him. Let us turn to our God, for he will freely pardon. The whole passage from Isaiah is an invitation. But in this invitation, there is much encouragement to accept the invitation. I find as I read this passage, it's not just an invitation and encouragement to accept it, but God even urges us to accept it. And you might read into it, and I think I have, a pleading. God is pleading with His creation that they would accept the invitation, because God wants us to be in fellowship with Himself. God wants us to experience His grace. God wants us to know His forgiveness and have lives that are forgiven and clean. He wants us to be pardoned from all of our sin. And He sent Jesus
to make it so,
because He wants us to spend forever with Him. Let us pray. Lord God, would You take these words, this meager effort, and bless it, O Lord, to our spiritual growth, our nourishment of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 350 is the song. It's about trusting Jesus. Let's sing the first stanza. Stand together if you will. Maybe you have a public response to make this morning. We invite you to do that as we sing 350. Thankful hearts, thanking You, appreciative of Your grace and forgiveness and pardon extended to us in Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to live in a manner that would bring glory to You and to Jesus, and that the world would want to be a part of fellowship with You in Your kingdom.
In Jesus' name, again, our prayer is offered. Amen.
Moses give you the law, yet none of you obey. So why do you want to kill me? The crowd replied, "You're crazy. What makes you think someone wants to kill you?"
Glory for the one who sent him is honest.
Yeah.